Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found attached to the blog Make Room for the Stuttering. And it's also a free download on iTunes. As always, today I have the delight and the privilege to have another amazing woman with us to share her story. So I would like to say hello to Beata. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello. Hello. Just fine.
Yes. Can you go ahead and get us started and introduce yourself and tell us where you are and what you do?
Of course. Hi, I am assistant lecturer at Faculty of Social Work, University of Ljubljana. I've stuttered for more than 20 years now, and because here stuttering is not it's not something people would write or talk about, and because we are dealing with many problems, I become an activist and I write for the and I fight for the rights of those who stutter as well as I. Therefore, I wrote many articles. I participated on many shows, congresses. I write about stuttering, and I also wrote children's book about a princess who stutters. I started to stutter when I was 4 years old. At first, about half year before I actually started to stutter. My voice changed. It was like if I would be very sick. Doctors did not find the reason why this happened. And when I got my voice back, I started to talk very quickly. Again, this change happened very suddenly from one day to another. And shortly after that, I started to stutter. As a child, I had no friends. And for many years, I never talked about that because I was too ashamed of what was going on. I was too afraid of talking about that because it was very hard for me. Like, for instance, there was one girl, she was celebrating her 10th birthday. I was 9.5 years. She invited all the classmates, including me, and I could not be happier, you know, because when I had my birthday and I was inviting all the kids, nobody came. And when they had they went and also other kids did not invite me, so I was very happy that she invited me. But soon after the started, I realized why I was invited. The birthday girl told to me that I can only play if I pretend that I'm a dog. It's been 20 years, but I still remember how they were kicking me, yelling to me like bark. They were dragging me all around the house on a leash. They were beating me with newspaper rolled in a roll. And her father even took a picture because I think that he was so amused about this.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that actually happened. And of course you would remember that, because that had to be such a humiliating experience for you.
Of course, and I had many bad memories like this. Like, for instance, when I was 13 years old, there was one TV show named Hugo. Every week, kids from two different schools competed to each other, and I guess there was not one school that didn't want to be in this show, because we went insane. We were wearing shirts with logo Hugo. We were buying books about it. School bag with the face of this Hugo. So we went insane, and somehow my class was invited to this show. So one boy from my class, who was known by his beautiful drawings, was in charge to make a big poster that would present our class. So he wrote all names of our classmates except mine. Instead of that, he wrote with very big letters, Agata, they used to call me with this name, because for me it's very hard to say Agatha Christie. So they used to call me Agatha. So if you look from, if you look to that poster, the only thing you could see was Agatha. And I remember when we went on a bus, because this show was filmed in another town, and all the way to there they were teasing me, like, now everyone will see that you are stupid, that you stutter, that you cannot talk. And I cried all the way. And teacher even said to me that, oh, I know that you stutter only because you like it. You are just pretending that you stutter. So those years were the hardest years of my life. But those years really, when I'm looking back, I was afraid to open my mouth and speak, because everyone laughed at me, and with no friends. I made it through those years, and I learned how to fight for myself and never and not allowed other to judge me based on my speech. I learned how to never look for an excuse and say, you know what, I can do it. I stutter. So it was very hard, but I can be proud that I made it through those years.
Oh my goodness! Let me ask you: did your parents try to help you during this time? I mean, did they?
Well,
Did they encourage you to maybe get speech therapy? Was that available?
Yes, it was, and I went 3 times and nothing changed. I still stutter, and so nothing changed. I for many years never talked about how I felt, and because I didn't want my mother to be sad because of that. She was always saying that she would do anything to help me. And so I know about that. I just recently told her what was happening in school. But she is the one who taught me that it is not important how am I talking, but what am I saying.
Yes. Wow, that must have been such an important moment for you to hear that from her, because it showed you that she was still affirming who you are and loved you just the way that you are, right? Yeah. What about your dad?
He died when I was a small girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to
No,
hear
it's
that.
okay.
Yeah. Do you have any other brothers and sisters?
Sister,
Younger? Yeah.
older.
And what did she think of your stuttering when you were a kid?
Well, she's the one actually who once said that never look for an excuse. You can do anything you want, you know? So, and at that point, I was around 10 years old, and I thought that, what are you talking? You know, you don't know how it is. But she was right. You know, you should never look for an excuse. You can do anything. You can say anything. It will take a while that you say it, but eventually you will.
So obviously you said you got through the school years okay, as tough as they were, and then you made a decision that you were going to go to college, right? What made you decide to study social work, which we both have in common, by the way? That's what I studied also. What made you decide to choose that?
Well, maybe because I understand how it is to have to be the, to be to be the to be different, because here in Slovenia, if you are not perfect, you are different, you know. And we are dealing here with many problems, like kids who stutter are sometimes placed in special schools. The law do not protect us like it does in some other cases of special needs. Then we don't have equal job opportunities. Opportunities. There is a lack of awareness of Slovenian society. For example, I had a teacher who thought that I stutter because of lack of these of discipline. So every time I stutter, she sent me to a co to a co to a co to a corner face to a wall when I stand it for many hours. And if I stuttered hard, standing was not enough. She made me get down to my knees. It is very hard to find a job. I still remember one director from one hospital. There was an ad in newspaper. They were looking for social worker, so I called there. I asked if the job is still available, and they said yes. So I introduced myself, and when she heard me, she said, "Oh, you know what? I just remember that that job is already taken, but
Oh
have a
no.
nice day."
Oh
Because yes, because people don't talk here about stuttering. People don't know what stuttering really is. So,
no.
many people think that we are deaf, we are drunk, that they think that stuttering is some kind of a mental illness. They think that we just don't make enough efforts to speak, or that we don't know how to speak. I have had people telling me that, calm down, slow down. Is there any pill you could take to calm down? Many people make fun of me. They are repeating words after me. They are asking me, like, don't you know how to talk? Are you stupid? Once one guy told me, "Oh, do you stutter? But you look so normal."
Oh, no.
Or Marilyn Monroe did not stutter. She was beautiful. because I don't look my age, some people are talking to me like I would be a little girl. I remember once I was trying to send a letter to Madagascar, and so for that I needed to fill in the form. So I told the lady in the post office, and she said to me like this, "Excuse me, like, here is the form, you see. Here you write your name and your last name. Do you know what it is? You know, like, then you write your address. Do you understand? Here is pen." So I filled down the form and I returned it. And then she said to me, like, really, like if I would be a small girl, "Oh, you made it, bravo! It was not that hard, wasn't it? Bravo!" And I am 28 years old, you see.
Wow. You know, it seems like with all of this that you went through, these painful memories, horrible stories, as a matter of fact, of how you were treated, it seems like you've reached a point right now where you're at least able to talk about it, and you know, we're seeing each other and you're smiling and
Yes, I am smiling, but it still hurts. You
oh.
know, people are always talking to me like, "Oh, but you smiled at this," but it still hurts.
Absolutely.
Like, I remember of one particular gathering for social workers, and I had hard time introducing myself. So there was one social worker who poked me with his finger every time I stutter, and then I asked him, why did he do it? And he said, oh, you are more than just welcome. It is nice to help people in need.
Oh, no.
Like, if that would help me.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But you seem to have reached some level of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of who you are now as an adult, because you started the conversation by sharing that you've written articles and written a children's book. So it sounds like you're trying to use your experiences to help others. Is that true? Yes, that is right.
That is why I wrote this book for kids, because I them some something that they will see that they are not alone.
Right. Do you have is there any type of self-help resources in your country? Do you have like a stuttering association or a stuttering self-help group now that helps adults and children who stutter?
Well, we have plenty support group for almost every disease and every every condition, but there is only one support group for us that is led by a person that stutters, and actually it is my group. I am the leader of this group.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you for
starting that. How do you get the word out about it?
I write articles about it. I was in a newspaper, in magazines, in a TV. So I talk about that a lot, but it still is a problem because people think that stuttering is showing that I'm stupid, you know. So when I was invited to one television show where I was talking about my group, about stuttering, the host asked me if I have a phone. I told her, yes, I have phone. And then she asked me, oh, really? And you even know how to use it? When I told her that having this speech impediment doesn't mean that I'm living under a rock and that it is not that hard to use a phone, I even showed it to her. But actually this part never appeared on the show, because like she said, it didn't look real. So instead of that, they put a scene where I'm standing under a tree looking pretty dumb. So
wow.
It is very hard here to talk about this, because people like they don't want to hear about it. Like, it is not important.
What about the people that come to the group with you? Are they able to, are they appreciative of the fact that there is a place where they can come and talk about the stuttering?
Of course. I really think that those problems can understand only a person that actually actually stutters, because it is so hard to explain that you can be afraid of talking, that you are afraid of asking somebody to. It is very hard to understand that you can be afraid of something that is so simple.
In your group, is it mostly men or is it
yes
evenly, yeah?
Yes, there is not one girl.
Are you
I'm the only
you're the only
yes,
one?
I'm the only girl there. Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's amazing. And that, I mean, that kind of follows with the statistics all over the world that most people who stutter happen to be men.
Mm-hmm. So
that's why I actually started this whole podcast for women, so that we can talk
mm-hmm.
about it and have a place to talk about what it's like being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be very isolating, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I also think that if you are woman, you are dealing with many problems, because if you are a guy and you are tall and big, no one will mock you or tease you, because they will be afraid of you. Who would make fun of somebody that is taller and stronger than you?
Mm-hmm.
Also, our society is very into a person's look. You know, being beautiful means two very different things for men and for women. Just see the song of Bob Dylan, the ugliest girl in the world. You know, there is one girl that she's got her eyebrows meet, and she's got two flat feet. Her knees knocked together as she walks. She snores and she also stutters. So being a beautiful woman means that you don't stutter.
Is that what you believe?
Well, in our society, it is. Like I said, there somebody told me that Marilyn Monroe couldn't stutter because she was beautiful, you know. So in our society, it is like this, that you must be perfect, and that means that you don't stutter.
Mm-hmm. But what about you personally? What do
oh no
you believe?
No, I really think that my stuttering makes me unique. You know, I really think that. I think that it is relief to feel good about myself. So yes, I stutter. So what?
Right.
There is nothing wrong with that.
Right, right. That's so good to hear you say that. In light of everything that you face in your country, mm-hmm. and in light of the background that you have, because if you hadn't have said it, I would have said it for you. You are a beautiful, strong woman.
Thank you.
Doing so much for the other people in your country that stutter. And you're right. So what? You stutter. That's just a tiny little part of who you are. And
exactly.
Right. And who you are is so much more than that little part. So good for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Especially telling this story, it takes a lot of courage to talk about those terrible things that happened to you, but you're doing what you need to do now to live the best life that you can. And I respect that. I think
Thank
that's
you.
Wonderful what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about lecturing, teaching in
uh-huh.
university. What's that like?
Well, at first, students were a little bit surprised because it is not that common that professor stutters.
Right.
So their first reaction was a confusion of what they between the image of who should the person who stutters be and actually seeing one. So we talked about it. We talked about how does it feel to stutter and what kind of problems do I have? After that, they accept me just fine, at least most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not that hard for me to teach them and lecture. It was at first because I was afraid. I was always asking me, "Oh, what am I doing?"
Exactly.
I really don't have. I don't have. I don't have. Problems with that.
Mm-hmm. And what courses do you teach?
Statistic.
Oh, wow. I bet they love that too, right?
Well, not exactly.
That's a very difficult course. I remember when I was in college myself, that was one of the courses that I hated and that I really struggled with. Because math is not my thing. And I actually thought by taking social work
mm-hmm.
courses and majoring in that, and I kind of went after social work the same reason that you did, because I wanted to help people, you know, that were different or had problems. But I also thought that I would stay away from math and science. So when I had to take the statistics course, I was like, oh no, what am I going to do now? But I got through it and got some help and obviously mm-hmm. passed the course. So wow, you're a statistics professor. That's amazing. That's amazing. What about socially? What's it like for you? Do you have friends now? Are you able to socialize with people your age and interact with others?
Well, I have friends, and it's funny because I met one friend, and after we talked, we somehow realized that we both stutter.
Oh no. Really?
Yes. Also my boyfriend also stutters, not as hard as I, but still. I have friends now, a good friend, so now I'm okay.
Yeah. Now, how did you meet your boyfriend that stutters?
Well, during a speech therapy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that kind of makes sense, you know, because, you know, that's where you meet people, and obviously you would have that connection with each other, and you can understand each other, and but you've got friends that don't stutter as well.
Yes, right? yes, of course.
And how do they accept you?
Well, I believe that they are proud that I am doing this. They are always saying to me that just do it, don't be afraid. So now it's okay. Now I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, I see that. I can hear it in your voice. I see the smile on your face. It seems like you are okay and proud of who you are and proud of what you're doing. And again, I think you're going to make a big difference in your country by talking about your experiences and writing about them. And, you know, just by speaking up and letting people know that it's okay. I think that itself is going to make a big difference for everybody that you come in contact with, especially your students. I think mm-hmm. it's wonderful that you had that honest conversation at the beginning when you first meet mm-hmm. your students to let them know it's nothing to be afraid of and that you can still teach them. So you're doing great things. And
thank you.
Yeah, yeah. What about your mom today? I mean, you said you spoke to her at one mm-hmm. point about what it was like when you were growing up. What does mm-hmm. she think about what you're doing now?
Well, she's always saying that she would still do anything to help me. But I am always saying, you know what? I don't need help. I am okay now. Mm-hmm. I think that she is proud that I made it so far. She is always saying that she couldn't imagine a better life for me that I have now. So I think when I'm looking back, seeing her being so sad, and now she's okay. She's always saying to me that she's proud and she loves me just the way I am.
Oh, that's wonderful, and that's got to make you feel really good, and it's got to kind of wipe away a little bit of the pain and the hurtfulness that you suffered early on as a young child, because mm-hmm. that's the most important thing, to have your family love you just the way you are, and that's important. I'm so glad you shared your story with us today. You really spoke with courage, and I appreciate that, and I just thank you so much for
welcome.
For taking this risk, and I'm very happy to have met you as well.
Thank you, Bella.
Yeah. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.